มันไม่มากมายคือเซนอันชีซัดตัวอะไร he's want to be the mujaddid the revivalist of the 13th century passed away around 1230 or 1240 he passed away there were many of the mashayikh of the time who had renewed the bayat with him though they were mashayikh but when they saw the Sayyid Sadr rahmatullah alayh they renewed the bayat with him one of our mashayikh is known as Marana Abdul Bari Sadr rahmatullah alayh So he also was amongst those who renewed his bayat. He had a long history and he renewed his bayat with other Sayyid Sadr Allah. After he renewed his bayat, whether it was Mawla Abdul Bari or Mawla Abdul Hadi, one of the two. So after he renewed his bayat, then Sayyid Sadr Rahmatullah Alayhi was emphasized a lot on the Sunnah. See that you don't move away from the Sunnah and remain upon the Sunnah. So he called his people. They would initially have a yearly Urus. And this Urus perhaps it started off with good intentions. So the intention he must have started off, we're talking about 4 or 5 centuries away, when there wasn't the type of communication that you have, no speedy communication. Transport, there was no speed. Communication, there was no speed. Now, on the one side, you need to conscientize people, to educate people. You don't have sufficient personnel to educate and conscientize, and there is no easy communication. So you see the odds. Now, around, say, 5 centuries ago, what had happened was that the mashayikh were coming and doing their work. As they did their work, they realized there were 3 categories of people. One is that category that's completed the whole thing. They have got the ilm, knowledge, and they've got suluk as well. So they've got the academic side, the sunnat, and they've got the spiritual side as well. They've got both. So now this you will call the Mumtahi. They have ended the whole course now. They got both. So, inshallah, they won't get confused because they got the academic side and they got the spiritual side. In both ways, they are complete, so inshallah, they won't go off. But then, you have a second group who doesn't have the proper academic, but and nor do they have the proper spiritual. So, a little bit of academic and a little bit of spiritual. So they know some of the sunnah and some of the spiritual side. But now the sheikh has passed on and these people are left in the abeyance, they're in the center, but they haven't reached yet. So that's the second class. Then you're getting a third class who are just started off, they're starting. So they don't know anything. And you got the picture now. It's a time, 5 centuries ago, when there is no speedy movement, no communication, very few learned people. Now one Buzurg is going to one place and he's reviving things there. And as he's reviving things, and he passed on. So the people he's left on is listed 3 times. So what does he do? Or what does his following do? So the following, they thought, all right, somehow we need to get the people together. Right? More so when you target the people that are in the middle and those that are at the beginning. When you target them, you get them together. Because if you leave them where they are, then they will go astray now, because they think that's the end. They haven't completed, and unfortunately they will think what we got is the end. Right? So they will go astray very easily. And you talk about those that are the last, they will completely, at the beginning, then they will be totally lost. So the middle class and the beginning, they will go totally, they will be totally off. So the forerunners of the Shaykh, his people, like his choice people, the people that complete everything, they must have made mashwara. What do we do? How do we manage this? If we leave them, then they will be on a stray, because we're still in the process of teaching. They haven't learned everything. Imagine someone comes to the madrasa, he's in the third year, and now the madrasa closes. What happens? So he's still in the process of learning, and the madrasa closed now. That's what he's going to do. And one is in Adadiya. So what is he going to do? You see how difficult it is. You can't find a replacement because you don't have enough ulama. Right? And you can't communicate because the communication is very poor. So now how do you work it out? So they thought of a plan. They thought, all right, we'll call people under the pretext of an urus. So we'll announce it far in advance. See, 2-3 months in advance, that there's going to be an urus on this date. Right. So, urus, what it means? Urus actually means wedding. A wedding or a bride. They call it an urus. Urus, that's how they call it. Now, why they chose that name? Because of the hadith. Hadith says that the person that is now a jannati, after the whole interrogation, whatever procedures, procedures are over. So the jannati is told, nam kanom kanomatil arus, sleep like a bride. Sleep like a bride. So the bride now, and she is given all the comfort for that night. After also, but the night, too much of comfort, everybody will spoil her, a lot of things for her. So now, the first night, she is told, nam kanamatir aru, sleep like a bride. So now, this name arus or urus is the day that Buzurg passed away. See? So when he passed away, so this should be, inshallah, hopefully, it should be the title that he has received, nam kanamatir arus. Now, they chose this date because the following, when they'll hear something about the Shaykh, and more so the death anniversary of the Shaykh, so they'll be emotionally attached, they'll become emotional, this is the day he passed away. So when they'll be emotional, it'll be easy to call them, to roll them in. They say, alright, our Shaykh passed away, this was the date, let's hear all the people are getting together, so it'll emotionally attract them. So that's why they chose this type of a name. So now in this, they will have a sitting for about a month or 2 months, and they will educate, more especially those that are in the middle, those that are at the beginning. The middle class has to be educated, and the beginning has to be educated as well. So both these classes have to be educated. So the whole emphasis was on this now. One was the Shaykh's people, you know, his choice people that completed. Those people now, they must work on these two classes. So they worked, and it happened, it worked for a very, very good period. Now they know that that Rus was, this was the whole idea, to educate, like how we have an istima or something, or to conscientize, and from there, you get Jamaats moving on. They first conscientized, and after they conscientized, then you take them on Jamaat for 4 months, 1 year, 6 months, on Chilla, whatever. So that was like a draw card, to draw them together. But now, when things are unchecked, you know, with the passage of times, they begin to become distorted. So initially it started on a good note, but then with the passage of time, it became distorted. So, in a jalsa, or in a gathering like that, right now, you got it for 1 month or 2 months, what will have? You'll have some food, right? And in a jalsa, you'll have some nizam also, someone will sing some nizam also, right? So now, with the passage of time, people felt that these were the original things, the food and the singing, right? So the education, apprising the people, conscientizing them, giving them the direction, that became the secondary thing. And the primary thing became the songs and the feeding. See how it changed now. So now they left all that, what was the purpose, that was all combed out, and these secondary things became the primary thing. And it's years, you know, you're talking about 5 centuries, right? Then, as the thing changed, that was distorted, that now after what happened, this became the main thing. This became the main thing. So they began to work on these things here, on the songs and the food. So the song now came from one level to the next level. Right? They began to progress on the songs. That became the main thing. So with that, they'll have some musical instruments also. Then you have a guitarist, and then you have an artist, right? So professional people come into singing, to sing, equipment is there, right? And the food also is a different style, right? So this whole thing got distorted. Right? When it got distorted now, the Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah was very staunch on the Sunnah. And if he had come to an area, that whole area would definitely be affected. Allah Pak had given that type of righteousness, that type of spirituality, that he comes to a place and the whole place is turned around. Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah. And whoever is connected to him says that, I will only take you all if you all adhere to the Sunnah. So they must be dead sure. And then, even then, people in hordes will just come in. Now this Sheikh here, the Sheikh Abdul Bari, or Abdul Hadi, whoever it was, so he called all his murids. He was thousands of followers, called, and under the prefix of the Urus. And then at that Urus now, he announced to them that this is Bidat. Now, it's a practice that was carried on for centuries. And he now converted himself to the Sunnah, because he knows he has got an answerability to Allah Ta'ala. That if he dies, not conscientizing his people that this is a bidah, it's an innovation, then he put himself into problems. So he announced it amongst his people, that this is bidah, it must be discontinued. So, as he announced this, so they said, ye to haji nahi, ye to paji hai. He's not the haji, you know, we knew him before. He was our sheikh, we used to call him haji, whatever. He's not the haji now, he's a paji. He's a corrupt person. Right. So, Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah made it his mission that any sunnah, small or big, we must see to it that this is going the right way. We can't deviate. So even in tasawwuf you find that the innovations found their way. And people didn't talk about them. I mean, this Urus now, nobody spoke about it. So But the Sayyid Sahib came in and he corrected it, that this is not the way, this is against the Sunnah. Then you find now Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullahi, his firmness on the Sunnah. You get different phases that a person passes through in this tasawwuf. You get some phases that a person passes through. Right? Call it an experience. So some experience that you will go through. So there are different type of experiences. One common experience that many people go through is after they have built an affinity, a rapport with the Shaykh, right? Then they feel his presence everywhere. In namaz, they're feeling his presence. If he's a student, then he feels the presence of the Shaykh. When he's at home, he feels the presence of the Shaykh. So now he's feeling it as though the Shaykh is there. But the Shaykh is not there. Shaykh is whatever he's doing. But you feeling the presence. So the affinity and the bond has become so much that you're feeling the presence. But the presence becomes a bit difficult. So you're seeing it, you're looking at him. So now sometimes it becomes dangerous. Why it becomes dangerous? And you're in namaz and you're feeling his presence before you. Now, as far as the Shaykh is concerned, then you are going to hold him in some level of respect and esteem, right? Right. Now, when he's in front of you and you're being sajdah, it can become dangerous, isn't it? He's in front of you, you're holding him in esteem, and you have to perform namaz. In that namaz, you're making sajdah. That's what's supposed to happen. Can it be dangerous? It can be very dangerous. So now, some of us, Sayyid Sabra of these people, they had that experience. That they feeling his presence. And they feeling his presence all the time. 24 hours they feel the experience. So, an important thing here is always to relate. Not to keep things to yourself, to relate. What experience you're going through, he'll give you some things, he'll recommend some things, and then you must relate, right? So he knows now what type of progress you're making and what type of adjustments need to be made. But if you're not relating, then you're saying as though I don't need to relate. Others must relate, I don't need to relate. I'm an exception to the rule. Right? Or you're saying that I can treat myself, I know how to do it. So you're not relating at all now. Whereas you are required to relate, but you're not relating. See, the whole part requires some days ago I spoke about the trust, right? And after trusting him, the love that you need to have, right? Trust and love. Etiqad and muhabbat. Then in the progress what's required is relate and emulate. Ittiba, ittila and ittiba. Ittila and ittiba. As you relate and you emulate. Because he must know what you're going through. When he knows what you're going through, then he knows, alright, you're on course, or you need some adjustments, you need some correction. He must know what's happening. So, when they mentioned this to Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullahi, so Sayyid Sahib had to correct it. So he corrected it like this. It's कुत्ते की तस्वूर छोड़ दो bluntly said what this presence of this dog is referring to just discontinue the consciousness of this dog. And as he said this, that experience also just subsided straight away. Now he doesn't have that, but now wasn't it important for him to relate the experience to the Shaykh? Now say for example he didn't relate that, right? And he felt that he could treat himself. In the state of namaz, he's finding the presence of the Shaykh. What's going to happen? Won't this eventually culminate in shirk, in disbelief? Won't it culminate? So the reason and the importance of relating, not just to keep it to yourself. So Sayyid Sabah Rahmatullah would impress and emphasize on all his people adherence to the Sunnah, adherence to the Sunnah. To the extent he would say to his those ulama that were connected to him, right? So they were the common, the rank and the file, and the ulama. So ulama will know more obviously. So he would impress upon them that if you see me deviating from even an inch slightly, you must correct me straight away. Don't leave it. Slightest deviation, but you don't. And if you're not going to inform me, then I'll hold you responsible, Allah Ta'ala. See? So you must tell me straight away if I made a mistake or I've moved away from the Sunnah, then bring it to my attention straight away. Failing which, I will complain to Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. That I did mention it to them that if I was wrong, they must correct me. And they failed to bring it to my attention. Now this was the revivalist, Sayyid Sabah Rahmatullah. He was the one that made the jihad against the English first. Right? It was his efforts. Right? Then he died as a shaheed in Balakot, Pakistan. Now it's Pakistan. Around 1240-1250 he passed away. So his adherence was such. So the ulama that were linked up to him, they were told, but you must tell me. If you don't do it, I'll hold you by the collar and complain to Allah Ta'ala that you knew it, but you didn't bring it to my attention. Now, Sayyid Sahib got married. He was young, got married. As he got married, now, talking of Pakistan, Peshawar, and those areas, so the winters become quite extreme. So, he needed to have ghusl, and perhaps the water needed to be heated. In the process, he missed out the first takbir, not the rakat, the first takbir. Right. And Mulana Abdul Haysab was doing the namaz, the imamat, right? But Sayyid Sahib was not there for the first takbir. For the first day, he just overlooked it. Now, the second day also this happened, that he got the first rakat, but just a few moments later. So, he corrected him openly. He says, Ya to shadi ki ishrat hogi, ya to sunnat ki ittiba hogi. From now, it's either going to be the enjoyment of marriage or emulation of the sunnah. See how he corrected him. So, Sayyid Sahib said, yes, waqi mere se galati hogi, aainda aisa nahi hoga. I have stumbled and this won't happen. Though he got the rakat. But that little mistake, you know, little delay, that was not endured. It wasn't taken lightly. So this mistake is not going to be repeated in the future. So, you know, the adherence to the Sunnah. How strict, how staunch, how firm. When I think about the story, now you can't even tell the murid that this thing. Yeah, the murid is telling the sheikh. Now, the sheikh can't speak to the murid. See the standards that they maintained. And then how that standards is deteriorating. So, Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah told Mawlana Abdul Haysab that if you see me moving away, and the time is straight. Straight away, on the spot timing. So, Abdul Hayd now, he also understood the temperament and what's required. So he says, Abdul Hayd is not so cheap. The day I see you going against the Sunnah, I'll move away from you, I'll break away from you. Now, Sayyid Sahib felt very, very strong, comfortable, and very fulfilled. Because I got such people around me that are equally concerned about the Sunnah as myself. And if he had he not shown that, then what would have happened? Say, these people around me, they are so committed to the Sunnah. Now I see that if I am committed, they also equally committed. They felt very satisfied, very committed, that these people are committed to the sunnah, and they won't deviate from the sunnah at all. You're getting one like Ismail Shaheed Sahib. Well, Ismail Shaheed Sahib is a Shaheed Sahib Ustad. He taught him. Well, Ismail Shaheed Sahib is the Ustad, and also he is the Shah Wali Sahib's grandson. So his father was Shah Abdul Ghani. Right? You don't find much of his mention, but he passed away, but he was quite young, passed away. So you don't hear much about him. Shah Waliullah Sahib had four sons. Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, Shah Rafiuddin Sahib, Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib, and Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib. The four sons. So the school that we follow is Waliullah's school. That school, that's a thought, that's the thinking, that's how we work. Right? So we get the idea, we get the direction from here. And the Shah Waliullah Sahib was such a person that his ustaz, Bhutahir Madani, he says that أَخَذَ مِنِّي اللَّفْظ وَأَخَذْتُ مِنْهُ الْمَعْنَى. His understanding of the hadith was so profound and ustad. So he learned the word of the hadith from me, but the purport and the meaning of the hadith I understood from him. أَخَذَ مِنِّي اللَّفْظ وَأَخَذْتُ مِنْهُ الْمَعْنَى. It was so great. Now, it's the time of his passing away, approaching death, Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmat Ali. And he died quite young, maybe about so over 50, he passed away. Although he did, what a magnificent piece of work. His kitabs, his students, too magnificent. You can't, it's mind-boggling what he did. Though he passed away early, just over 50, but the work that he left behind is something magnificent. For all our ulama to follow him, it must be really magnificent. So now, he's passing away, and he's concerned, ke meri aulaad ka kya hoga? What's going to happen to my children? Because they're still young. He's 50, and they're young still. What's going to happen to them? Just then he saw the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam assured him, Jason, meri aulaad, we see teri aulaad. It's just as my children, my progeny, My progeny is like your progeny is like my progeny. In other words, like Allah will take care of mine, will take care of yours as well. And then the world had seen that what a sterling piece of job this people had done. Because after the Shah Waliullah Sahib, the son Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, and the whole world had connected to him. So it was like a great honor for anybody to be linked up to the Shah Waliullah Sahib, to have hadith. The sanad of hadith of Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib was too great. So this is now the Waliullah school of thought. And that's our ulama of Deoband. This is the school that we follow. Now this school of thought is such that the silsila and this chain is called silsila to Zahab. It's like a golden chain. You connect it to this. And now, he was the Shah Waliullah Sahib, like the Sanadul Hind. In other words, anybody learning hadith in the Indian subcontinent, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, all these places, right? Then they will transmit the hadith on the chain of that Shah Waliullah Sahib. So the transmission will happen, but with the Shah Waliullah Sahib at some point. Well, can you see now what a golden chain this is? In one zamana they used to call it Sanadul Hind, but now it's like a Sanadul Alam, because The same in Islamabad, they moved on to all places, Africa, London, you talk about America, Australia, and they established madrasas. So when they established madrasas, they're offering hadith. And they're offering hadith, the same sanad is going right throughout. So what a precious sanad this is, what a precious chain this is. But then the spirit in this was the adherence to the sunnah. So we will not count any small sunnah as small. Everything is significant. And this is how they got it from their elders. Shawali al-Safiq, he got it from his elders. Okay. It was now the time of Humayun. And because that was coinciding with the time of Ahmad Sarhindi. Mujaddid al-Fasani is called Sheikh Ahmad Sarhindi, right? So it's his time, Humayun's time. Right? It's the end of the last millennium, the first 1,000 years. Now we went through a second 1,000. So there was the first 1,000 year, right? End of the millennium, that's Hijrat, right? So that was 400 years ago, 450 years ago. Right? So he comes around that time. Now, in this political circuit, what happens is, if any person has got a following, right? Any person has got a big following, his following is just increasing, numbers are just swelling. Now he's got 20 million, 5 million, 7 million, then the rulers become a little bit concerned. He's got such a big following, they can capsize me. But he's got so much of following. You talk about this country, this town, this village, that province. So he's got the following everywhere. When he's got following everywhere, then his following is so huge that I'll topple it very easily. Right. So when they would see this type of thing, then they would report it to the king. Now sometimes the report is done with malicious intent, in terms of, right, I got a personal grudge with you, so I go and complain to the king. So this is the problem, right? And sometimes it is true. Now, Mujaddid Sahib Rahmatullahi, there was a lot of malicious, you see. But he also spoke very, very strongly about the sunnah. Now, because of his adherence to the sunnah, then there were those that moved away. They didn't want to listen. Why is he telling us this? Right? Why is he changing things? So, they reported this to the king, Humayun. You know, he's like this, and he's like this, and whatever. So this type of gossiping is not a new thing, it's an old thing. But now, the gossiping sometimes is valid, sometimes it's invalid, sometimes it's a malicious intent. So they went and reported this to the king. Perhaps it was Humayun at the time, father of Akbar, right? What they reported, that this person here, he doesn't show any regards for the kingdom. It's against the ruling class. And the sign of it is that he doesn't even prostrate before the king. So the protocol was, when you come into the king, you must prostrate and then he will receive you. If you don't bow down, you don't bow onto the ground, then he won't receive. That was the protocol. Like you may see, like, some of the darbars in India up to now, like mazars you go on. So as you get inside, then the entrance is such that it will force you to. So that's the entrance. So the entrance is just below your head level. When it's below head level, so you'll have to bow down. So it's a forced bow, say, bowing to the person. Right. So that was the style at the time. So they went and reported, okay, this is the man, and this person shows scant regards, the government can have problems afterwards. So Humayun summoned for him, came. He didn't bow, and he didn't greet like how others will greet. Others will greet, you know, their own style. Adab Arzal, that was the style. They won't say salam. So he didn't say the royal greeting, nor did he bow. He didn't offer the royal greeting, and nor did he bow down. So he said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So now Humayun confirmed their suspicions and their gossip was confirmed. He doesn't bow, he doesn't conform to the royal protocol, he doesn't conform. So all is confirmed now. So he sent him to jail. See how this thing starts. Now, he languished in prison around years. Then he died. The king died. His son, I think, whatever it was, Jahangir. Now, in his time, Jahangir, when he came in, this Jahangir now, he sees a dream. He sees Rasul-e-Baksim. And Rasul-e-Baksim is biting his finger and saying, Jahangir, tu ne kis qadar bade aadmi ko jail mein dal diya. Boxing gloves, right? Jahangir, what a great person, you imprisoned him. He got up in a shock. He brought him out straight out of prison. Showed him the respect to bathe at his hands, right? And started reformation. So now, this Shah Waliullah Sahib's whole school, it links up with Mujaddid Al-Fasari Rahmatullahi. And the common line, the common thread in all of them is the adherence to the Sunnah. We don't want to deviate. Not even 1 second. Not 1 inch. Don't move. Not millimeter. No. Come back. So that was the whole style that we adhere to the Sunnah. So, the tasawwuf also, what happened was, at a time, a lot of things got contaminated, mixed up. So as they come in, they're correcting it. Say Zab is coming in, then he's correcting it. Whatever discrepancies or deviations, then they're moving away, they're correcting it. And so was then, Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Ghamboi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he also, if he saw something that was not in conformity, 100%, then he moved away. So, because of that, when you're adhering so far firmly, then you have a lot of people, a lot of criticism. Lots of criticism. Because now, one is the ancestral style, and he's broken away from the ancestral style. Yeah, I get 40 days and all these things here. So he's broken from all that. But because of that, he's meeting up with a lot of criticism from all classes. So publicly, openly, privately, wherever he can, bring it to the original. Weed all the additions, the innovations, weed it out from the system. Don't let it remain. In that zamana, not in that later zamana, but struggle for the sunnah, then it progressed. When it progressed, one wealthy person now, his father had passed away. He's very wealthy, and his father had passed on. Now, according to the family tradition, he had to do 40 days. Now, if he doesn't do it, the traditions are so strong that the family will break away from him. It's so strong on the traditions and the customs and rituals, the whole family will break away from him. So, according to the family traditions, he called for the 40 days. Now, he's ultra wealthy, so the people that will call also will be like that, right? So he used to host them for 2-3 days, 1,000 people, 2,000 people, at that level of food and all that, you know, like a ruling class, so now, that type of food, that type of accommodation. So for that 1,000 people, he have to do that. Now, on the one side, he knows that 40 days and all that is all wrong, perverse, we need to discontinue it. But now, look for a style, look for an approach, how much they can discontinue it. So he got the guests, and the food is laid out already. So he comes to the stage and he's addressing the crowd. So he says to the guests, you know, I've lost my father, and losing the father is such a big calamity. You know, like a pillar of support, and that's gone. And now I'm in this tragic position, tragic condition, I'm in this tragedy. Added to it is that I have to host you people, because you are a richly class, a leading class, right? A leading class, I'm hosting you for 3 days with the lavish meals. It will cost me so much. 1-2 million it will cost me. As it is, I am in the arrears, and I have to host and feed you people. So I'll be putting myself deeper in a hole here. Now everybody's faces went down. So the comments that came up, when you had to make this announcement, then why did you call us? You had to make this announcement, then why did you call us? In the first place, you didn't have this doubt. Right. But then the understanding people. See, in every community you have someone that is understanding, age, understanding. They're not just emotional. They look at things, look at the merit, and they work accordingly. When you're one class, they're stubborn. There is no, what I say, my way or highway. And we have another class, you know, let's look at it, look at the merit. They say what this youngster is saying is the right one. Right. He was forced to call this, so he had to call it. And we are going to definitely put him into the areas. He's in problems. We're going to put him in further problems. So this practice must be discontinued. So, see how they discontinued. But it was like an approach how to discontinue these things. You can't let it go. And he just stopped it straight away. It had been difficult. But now he looked, had to look for an approach to stop this thing. But now that criticism will come. There wasn't a zamana that a righteous person was not criticized. It must be criticized. You will not find that he's not criticized, he's criticized. Azizi Rahmat gave a story of Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmat Ali. Right? So he's now perhaps the murid of Inuddin Chishti Rahmat Ali. In his zamana, and one person wants to sell his slave girl. Right? He wants to sell his slave girl. So he tells her that I'm going to sell you. So who you going to sell me to? I'm going to offer you to Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayh. So no, don't sell me to him. Why? See, he's a kid. They say that he's from the awliya, but he can't be an awliya. He can't be from amongst the awliya. They say he's the awliya, but he's not from the... But what makes you say that? He says, but there is a wali, then he must be criticized. Someone must be speaking against him and all that. See, جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا. When every Nabi had an opposition, then a wali also must have an opposition, someone to speak out against him. جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ. But he is close to the Nabi. So if he's close to the Nabi, then the conditions that prevail over the Nabi must prevail with him as well. Now, all the other wali, I see people criticize them, they condemn them. But here they are condemning him, not criticizing him. So he can't be ranked in the ranks of the awliya. Who's saying this? The slave girl. So the boss now is saying, alright, what you'll do? We'll take an option on this, you know. Khiyar shart. We'll take an option on this. For 3 days. We'll sell you to him, but you got an option. You can exercise the option and take you back in 3 days. You're not happy with the person, they will take you back within 3 days. Anyway, he's sold her, and he's taken the option. Now, some way the boss sees her for the first day. Say, what? No? No. Confirm it now, it's all right. Confirm the sale, you don't have to exercise your option. Why, what happened? So the guys went in, so they needed some fire, and they asked me to go to the next door and get a burning flame, you know, burning flame of wood. So I went to the next door and that woman, let me have it. Take one way. Oh, that man there, he's a robber, he's a thief, and he's an imposter. And you got what people are talking about only out of it. So now I understood, leave the world, the neighbor is speaking out against him. So he must be a genuine, awliya. Not the world now, it's the next door, the neighbor is speaking out against him, so he must be ranked. Ja'alna likulli nabiyyin aduwwan. So they'll speak out, and as a result of them speaking out, they must have some oppositions. So don't be confused of why people are speaking out against him, they're saying this and whatever else. But his work is to bring things straight. And when he's going to make things straight, it's going to be agreeable to someone, and someone is not going to be disagreeable. He won't agree to it. He's going to agree to someone, someone won't agree. So one that is he doesn't agree with, he will have to come into his defense and say something. What he knows, what he's talking about, trash. These things, he's the only alim in the town. The other ulama also, what he thinks of himself. So there'll be those that will speak like this. Now the one that is weak in his mind, he will lend an ear to this type of criticism, and he will slip away. You know, he's used to listening to every type of gossip. We have an old imam here, in the top masjid. Before that, there wasn't a masjid, there was a jamaat khana, musalla, right? You know where those flats are now? The new flats, not the old flats, the new flats. So that was like a musalla, like a garage. So the namaz were performed in that garage. They converted it, like a windows and all that, so the namaz were being performed there. So that imam there was called Hafiz Nurbari. Really was a Qari, but the Shukari Hafiz Nurbari. So he used to say, this post that is circulated in Durban and all that, it's a vacuum cleaner. So the tasbih was, you say, was your tasbih? The tasbih was that, like the vacuum cleaner looks for every dirt. So this thing also looks for every dirt. So now some people's ears are like that. They look for every dirt now. What dirt he got? What is dirt? That becomes the tabiyat. My nani, she used to say, Allah Ta'ala bless her. She used to say, see, when we meet people, then look for the good. Just close your eyes from the weakness, shut your eyes, and look at the good. And then she would say, Allah Pakazat has kept some good in every person. Some good. You have to just explore the person and you'll find the good. And then she would say, see, if you are in the habit of looking for a good, right, him, I see some good in him. Swami, I see some good. And now that's your habit, to just close your eyes from the weakness and look at the good. Then what will happen after that? After a period of time, you'll become a conglomeration of good. Because you want to look for the good. And you're blinding your eye from the weakness. All what weakness? Somebody, the weakness, he can have it himself. But I must steal away the good that he's got. I see this person, he's always got a smiling face. So let me keep a smiling face. This person here, he doesn't listen to Vibad at all. He doesn't entertain it at all. So let me do that. This person here, I see, he's very time conscious. And that person is very respectful. So let me see the good and let me take away the good. The weakness, I will not bargain with the weakness. Look for the good and take the thing. After a period of time, it will be a conglomeration of good only. You see the person head to toe, is only good. And that's an easy way to improve yourself, to work with yourself, to improve yourself. It's a very easy way. So this, the self also had come onto this, there were one of the additions that came in. And then you had this Mujaddidin, like Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullahi. Then you have the Mawad Gangui Sahib Rahmatullahi. Then they weaned all that wrong out, all the bid'at, whatever innovations that come in and found their way here, they weaned them out. They didn't leave them. So he's in Gangoh, right? And his sheikh is now in Makkah Mukarrama, Ali Zabdullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, right? He's here. So Admiral Gangoh Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh comes over for Hajj. When he's in Hajj here, so he meets up with his sheikhs, Ali Zabdullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So the relationship, the affinity and the bond is too great, very great. But now, Ali Sahib tells us more than Musa Abraham Tali that log tumhare bohut kuch kehte hai, tumhare khilaaf bohut kuch kehte hai. They speak out against you too much. Because aap mutmain rahe, but you be comfortable, I am not affected with their criticism. They speak out against you. You are speaking, they are saying this, and you are saying this, and you are saying this. But I am not affected. Right? But I am not affected in the least. Someone is saying, that he's against Sima, he's against Hadisa, against Mulud. Right? So, Hadisa is saying that, see, all these criticisms, they don't affect me in the least. Now the reason, Hari Sahib is giving the reason. He said, the reason is, Hamara aur tumhara taluk Allah ki khatir hai. Our relationship is only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. It's not for material. If the relationship was for material, the material is gone, so the relationship is gone. I have got a relationship with a customer, right? Because the customer is giving very good business. Every month, he's buying, say 1 million from me, right? Every month. So won't I honor the relationship? A. Man, yeah. He's sustaining man. So won't you keep that? But the day the business goes away, then, relationship is gone. So the relationship remains as long as the material remains. Or if it's a supplier, for example, and he's supplying so well, right? Honors it. And he's gone. Or he's gone to some other business. Now the relationship will be the same. Before, if he came, he will roll out the red carpet. But he's using for me now. They will roll out the red carpet, put him up in a hotel, 5-star, everything. Why? Because I'm doing that business from him. But the day he moved on to the next business, now you will roll out the carpet for him. You'll have a chauffeur driven car you have. You'll put him in a hotel. It's all right, have you come for a meal when you can come? Just casual relationship. The whole relationship will just... Why? Because the relationship was based on material. Our relationship is not for material. Our relationship is Allah ki khatir, only for Allah Ta'ala. When it is for Allah Ta'ala, so Allah Ta'ala is eternal. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَا. Right. So, material is transitory, right? It's transitory. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِدًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَةٍ عَارِدًا is a cloud, right? Why? Because عَارِد is something that passes away. Cloud comes and passes away. يأخذون هذا الأذنى ويقولون سيغفر لنا وإن يأتيهم عرض مثله يأخذه. Right. عرض is something that's transitory, just coming and going, coming and going. Right. So that's why you call it عرض. Why? Because it's not permanent. It just comes and moves away. It comes and moves away. The relationship that we have with Allah Ta'ala is not that type of a relationship. The relationship with Allah Ta'ala, ma indallahi baq. So what is for Allah Ta'ala, it's permanent. It's not for a day, it's not for a convenience, it's not for just some temporary advantage. is not for any tedious or motor, it's a permanent relationship. Because we connect to the Dhatara before birth, right? Post-birth, in our childhood, youth, old age, in the grave, in the akhirat. Any way can you escape from Allah Ta'ala? Can you? Ask yourself, think, when you're going in your cubicle, and think, is there any time that you can escape from Allah Ta'ala? Those people of Tabuk, they also said, وَظَنُّوا أَنَّ أَلَّا مَلْجَعَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. See, where the tawbah of this got endorsed, at that point, وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَعَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. ثُمَّ تَعْبَ عَلِمْ. See that? Which point? وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَعَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. They realize that there's no refuge but to Allah Ta'ala. So this condition, this type of a belief, conviction, this must be the state of the mind. What? It must be the state of the mind. That you think is the most real thing. وَظَنُّ أَلَّا مَلْجَى مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. Like how fire, right? It's not just a concept. Is it a theory? Fire burns. Or it's a fact. Don't play the... Is it just a theory or some imagination, or it's a reality? The child is there, take him out of there, what's wrong? So it's a reality. وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَعَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. That's the point. ثُمَّ تَعْبَ إِلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُ. So then Allah Ta'ala turned His mercy towards them. Taba means to turn, right? Turned His special mercy and He accepted them. But at which point? Look at it. Just think about it repeatedly. That must be the state of your mind. أَلَّا مَلْجَعَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. See this khatme khajga we do after Zohar, right? But some places they read La malja wa la manja minka illa ilayhi. That's what they read. Read La ilaha illa subhana. It's coming to the same end, but some places this is what they read. So this must be the state of the mind permanently. La malja min Allah illa ilayhi. So the Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi is giving a lot of comfort to Hazrat Muawiyah bin Ruwaysah Rahmatullahi. See, our relationship is not for material. It is only for Allah Ta'ala, not for material. So when it's only for Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala is eternal, so our relationship will be also eternal. If it was that our relationship was material based, right? The material comes and goes. So the relationship also is coming and going. You get married to a girl, right? And something turns out unpleasant, right? And you break up. Now, is there a relationship? Gone. But the day you got by, love is forever, and diamond is forever, right? But then, it didn't work out then. Love is only for 2 days. But I ask you, when it's Allah Ta'ala, then, is there any alternative, any other door, any way that you can move away from me? You can't move away from Him. It's impossible. He's with you. At any given point, He's with you. Can't move away. So that must become the state of the mind. That I can't avoid Allah Ta'ala. I can avoid people. I can hide away, conceal, make a plan here, make up a story here. I can do that, right? People, I can do that. Block this person, deceive that person, hide away here. Make a story there, put a cover up there. But Allah Ta'ala, you can't do these things. Whether you made a story or you didn't make a story, but you can't just escape Allah Ta'ala. So that must become the state of the mind. I can't escape you, Allah Ta'ala. Wherever I am, you are there. وَفُوَ مَعَكُمْ إِنَّ مَا كُمْتُمْ. So now when that becomes the state of the mind, then you say, ثُمَّ تَعْبَ إِلَيْهِ. Then Allah Ta'ala's special mercy turns towards you. Today is the 29th, 21st, right? Inshallah, tonight. So this is what we want. We want Allah's special mercy turning towards us. So at least for the day now, we try and train ourselves. La marja min Allah illa ilayh. Is there any other alternative, any other recourse? When there's no other recourse, it's only to you. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. I can't go anywhere. You're the only recourse. So all my hopes are in you. My turn is towards you. Only with this in mind, that you look at me favorably. You looked at me favorably. I'm gone. I'm sorted out. But it's just one glance of yours, Allahu Akbar. Just one nazar, one sight of compassion, compassionate sight. Compassionate. It's once. I got it once. Another. I'm sorted out. So that must be the state of the mind. So, Hazrat Hafiz Sahib Rahmatullah gave him the reassurance that our relationship is for Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala is eternal, so the relationship also will be eternal. So we didn't connect for any material reasons, any worldly reasons. There wasn't an agenda. It was only for Allah Ta'ala that we bonded, right? But it's only for Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala is eternal, so this relationship will also be eternal. Now look at this verse of the Qur'an Sharif, how it supports this. Ya ibadi, la khawfun alaykum al-yawma, wa la antum tahzanun. Right. And then, al-akhillaw, yawma idhim ba'dhum li ba'din aduhun illa al-muttaqeen. Al-akhillaw, pull of khalil, isn't it? Al-akhillaw, yawma idhim ba'dhum li ba'din aduhun illa al-muttaqeen. So the relationship will become an enmity. The relationship that we had here, that will turn out to be an enmity there. I don't want to see you, I want to run away from you. يَفِرُ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِي. Why I want to escape from you? Because you may have a charge against me. You see me on the day of Qiyamah. Yeah, this person here, he does. I need the sawabs now. And when I need the sawabs, because that's the only currency that's working. I must pull the currency from anybody. I need to get my salvation. I need to get right. So I'm not worried who's coming, who's going. My mind is so consumed that I must get out of this, that I don't want to pull off from anybody. Min akhi wa ummi wa abi, from the mother, father, son. Right, from everybody I must pull out. See that? So the friendship of that day will turn out to be an enmity. Because now I want to draw it from you. You want to say 10 salams, right? And I need the 10 salams. Right. Now I grab you by the collar, I want my salams. So doesn't that turn out to be an enmity? I only got 10 salams, but what do you take away from me? What I want? Mera kya hoga? Now you grab me away from me. Mera kya hoga? See now how that enmity happens. Right? I got nothing else. Only got this 10. Now you pull your 10 away from me. So the mother is running away, the father running away, the child running away, brother, everybody. يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنُ يَغْنِي. Every person is in a state that makes him forget the next person. I am in a state. I need to get out of this thing here. So, أَلَخِلَّهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضٌ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. So there will be total enmity. But the friendship that will endure there, إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. That friendship that was based on taqwa. Why we befriending each other? To learn the lesson of taqwa. To learn the lesson of righteousness. To learn the road to Allah Ta'ala. To learn the love of Allah Ta'ala. To learn the road to Jannah. Right? That's why we're here. To learn the road to Allah Ta'ala. Tawbah, righteousness, virtue. That's why we came here. So if that's the relationship, only for that, then that transcends everything. It goes so far, that thing is such a powerful thing. It transcends this life, the qabr, until the hereafter. You see this relationship, how strong it is. Yeah? All barriers are broken. Every barrier is broken. You can't, this world is such, that if you, South Africa, you can't just go to America, you can't go to Australia. You can't. need a permit, passport, visa, such a long, then they say approved, not approved. Someplace you can't go. There's so much of procedures before you can. But here, this friendship for the sake of Allah is so powerful. It breaks every barrier, takes you right to Jannah. See, every barrier, every conceivable barrier, everything is broken. This barrier. We'll take you, we'll post you, we'll transcend. We'll just escalate you straight to Jannah. So the relationship also remains there. Allah khillahu yawma'idin ba'dun ba'din illa muttaqin. Ya ibadi la khufun alaykum al-yawma wa la antum tahzanun. Ufi yawmari. Right? What that? Aram to bija. Sit down. Don't worry about it. Don't stress. Why stressing? The malaika is saying, why are you stressing? La khufun alaykum. What's the point to stress? Who's eating you up? Ya ibadi la khufun alaykum al-yawma wa la antum tahzanun. So nothing to worry about, nothing to fear about. We giving our assurance, nothing will happen. Nobody can do anything. Man is covered with anxiety. He's in a foreign land. Don't you feel somewhat uncomfortable? And some say, hey, comfortable now? I am around, nobody can do anything. He's got like the blue cars, you know? The blue light cars. 30 or 40 all around you. We are here for you. Special government delegation, we ordered to look after you from all sides. How do you feel now? Not only protected, but you feel honored. Hey. At that point, what will you say? At that point, you'll say, a kebab like me now, and how am I being honored like this? Hey. How gracious is my Allah Ta'ala? How loving is my Allah Ta'ala? We are total write-offs. We are write-offs. And how loving made it happen? He's giving me a special entourage, security, so much of comfort, so much of love, so much of affection. And we didn't pay for it. We didn't really work for it. Our work was minuscule compared to the reward. Compared to the reception we're getting, there's no comparison at all. What he's giving. So you see this friendship. Allah khillahu yawma idin ba'dhum li ba'din aduun illa muttaqin. So everything will discontinue. Everything. Just the relationship based on taqwa. Based on the love of Allah Ta'ala. Based on the fikr of the akhirat. Based on the next life. That was our... Man ahabba lillah wa abghada lillah. So it's such an important thing, this love for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Muhabbat for the sake of Allah. No other worldly reason. Now because we don't see the results of it here, so we take it light. We see the results, we see the effect of a relationship in a husband and wife. So we take it serious. Am I samosa waiting for me? My roasted fish is there. Everything is sorted out in the house. So I need to bond. Why are we bonding only with the material? Because we bond with the material, so we take this relationship so strong. I go there, everything is sorted out for me. The house is nice, neat, well-camped, food, everything is right. Children are all smart and good. So now I need to bond. But the bond is what? Think to yourself. For that garam biryani, isn't it? Naram boti and garam roti. So, the only reason you take in the makoti is garam roti and, what is it called? Right? Garam roti and naram boti. Anything else? So, all the relationship is finished. The only relation is this one there. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Allah khillahu yawma idin ba'dun li ba'din aduun li muttaqin. So when this relationship is so important, then how much firmly we need to hold on to this? How strongly we need to hold on to this? This is the thing that's going to transcend right through this world, qabr, akhirat, everywhere. The Quran is saying, Allah khillahu yawma idin ba'dun li ba'din aduun illa al-muttaqeen. And then because of the relationship, malaika coming on your side, because of that relationship. See, you have the relationship. Now, you just be comfortable, relax. We got the entourage here. They can't, nobody can touch you. Who do not touch you? Who do not touch you? لا خوف عليكم اليوم ولا أنتم تحزنون. ادخلوا الجنة أنتم وأزواجكم تحبرون. Alright, you are the buzruk, right? Go. But never mind, your family, everybody. All thrown in. You bought the ticket, right? But the airline was so compassionate. So, never mind. Take the whole family, man. My father also, yeah. Mother also, take everybody. Wife, children, everybody. See the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. See that. رَبَّنَا وَأَدْخِلُمْ جَنَّاتِ أَدْنِلِ الَّتِي وَعَدْتَهُمْ وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ أَعْبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَزُرِّيَاتِهِمْ. For the ticket that you paid, everybody's thrown. See that? You paid for the ticket of Jannah, but your wife got thrown in, children got thrown in, parents got thrown in, but who bought that ticket? See this relationship for Allah Ta'ala. When it's for Allah Ta'ala, then what you get at the other side. You get thrown in, your family gets thrown in, children get everybody. But the important thing is the relationship. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala. It must be so, so strong. Then you don't shift this side or that side. So that's our problem is. That we have a relationship, but the relationship is proportionate to the material. I'm getting so much of material, so much I must invest in this relationship. Father so much, mother so much, wife so much. Why? Because of material. But the actual relationship that is inseparable, that's going to remain with you here, Qabar, Akhirat, right to Jannah, that one there, do we born with that? Do we strengthen that? Do we look after that? Do we preserve that? Ask yourself. Now that you understood now where we're coming, right? And what this thing does to you, right? Then think to yourself now, think to yourself, put yourself just between you and Allah Ta'ala. How you get this thing right? In your quiet moment, hey, this thing will take me. From where to where it's going to take me? In the isolation of the grave, it's going to take me. Here, what's going to take me? In this life, it's going to help me out. So then, how much do I need to invest in this relationship here? This relationship that is going to be so strong, so powerful. Then how much do I invest in this relationship? That's why, when that Sahabi is asking the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the entrance of the masjid, when is Qiyamah? And Nabi Sallam asks him, what you prepared for it? I didn't do too much, not too much. I did my farah, sunnah, and all that, but not too much. Like so much of nafil, rozas, or I didn't do that. The Nabi Sallam gave the assurance, don't worry, al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba. You'll be with those who you love. So if you love the people of Allah Ta'ala, only for His sake, right? Only for you, no other reason. The group is calling. So that means the relationship that you need to invest in most is this relationship. Everything, by the way, everything else, it's not only for you. This relationship is good for you, for your children, for your wife, everybody. أَدْخِلْهُمْ جَنَّاتِ أَدْنِ الَّتِي وَعَدْتَهُمْ وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ أَبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَاتِهِمْ. Everybody, you're thrown in one ticket. You saw any airline giving you such a deal. Any airline. Such a deal. Think for yourself. One ticket, everybody got thrown in. Maybe a competition there, and there was a lucky draw, right? Everybody got in. But here it's a standard, not a lucky draw. It's a standard. You buy the ticket, everybody is thrown in. So, as a man of the house, then where should we be investing this love? And how should we be bonding with this? And how much of our energy, our time, our mind must be on this thing here. Everything else, right, by the way. Allah Akbar.